What'd you do, Blake?
I fucked it. Five, I fucked four, it again. Fuck it. There's no words on it. Fuck it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Because I've never seen that. Fucking thing sucks. There's no words there. Fuck it. There's no words on it. Fuck it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Because I've never seen that. Fucking thing sucks. There's no words there. I don't know.
What a long ass intro.
Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
The following podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed during the show are solely those of the individual cast members and in no way reflect the views of our guests and sponsors. We have a tremendous amount of respect and admiration for our guests and in no way want them to be associated with our sick, demented, and inappropriate sense of humor. Consider yourselves warned, and welcome to the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee, fuckers.
1, 2, 3, 4. When I turn my radio down, I hear it's pop country. Those corporate jerks sure get on my nerves. That ain't country to me. Now it burns when I pee. It burns when I pee. Nashville did to me. So let's take a piss on the Nashville music biz. Cause now it burns when I
world when I'm looking ragged.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 63 of It Burns When I Pee. I am your host, the podcasting god.
Amen.
Blake Clayton. And I have with us this evening, as always, the amazing crew. And it started off with this young lady right here. The lovely, the talented Cold Beer Coley. How are you, my dear?
I am fine, my sweet.
Did you like that? I have your intro back.
Awesome. I was missing it.
Yeah, I kind of cut it off right there at the end. I'm new at this. This is my first time. And sitting beside you is the talented, the amazing... Amish BJ, welcome to the show, my friend.
Howdy, howdy.
So, we're here, episode 63, our second live show, and it's the Songwriter Series Volume 2.
Woo! And right, you just heard Segway. Woo! I'm awesome at this. This is my first round, too. You just heard Fell Off the Wagon by Joe Huber.
And that's off his brand new album, which everybody needs to get. It's called Tongues of Fire. That's what Molly says I have.
I was just about to say Nicole says I have that too.
When you lick her butt or when you lick her vajayjay?
Little bit of both, man. You got to go front all the way to the back.
One long flail sloop.
Yep.
Even if there's bumps in between.
Yep. It must be fresh out of the shower, though.
You have to shower first.
Always. It doesn't matter if you just got, like, it's the preamble is always to wash it.
Yes.
Put some of that bath salt in it.
You wash it and pat it dry. Bath salt.
So, how's everybody doing? It's summertime.
Summertime, summertime, summertime.
You guys got a pool?
Yes.
And we don't?
Nah, 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 boo, boo.
Whoa, shit. My mic just came off the...
Way to
hold
go,
on,
Beach.
Hold on, technical difficulties.
This is his first round, too.
I was trying to move my mic thing to say that anybody's welcome to come over to our pool. It is bathing suit optional.
Right.
Ooh.
Bed, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, we don't want them to see any scary stuff.
Yeah, we're not a bunch of Sanduskies up here.
Hey, he wants the truth to come out. He wants to know about the loving relationships that he had. It wasn't rape because he loved them.
Yeah. What a sicko. He's going to get some love in jail.
Oh, no, they'll put him in some fancy government one and quarantine him from everybody. And he'll end up eating his poop.
Eating his poop.
Hey, if I went to prison, that's the first thing I'd do. They put me in prison, my ass would be in the corner, smearing it on the walls, writing stuff, eating it. That way they'll send me to the crazy house instead.
Yeah, I totally agree. Sorry, I was trying to fend off a kid here.
We're doing it live, kids.
We're doing it live. Sorry.
You know how anal Blake is. Jesus Christ. You trying to get us fired? So, let's play a game. Or maybe not. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, would you like to play a game?
Would you play a game with me?
We're going to play Let's Tie Up Liam. He just wants to be on the show. He can put him on if it'll calm him down. Impromptu guest, Liam Christie. Or maybe not. So, Coley. What are you doing over there? Lamp. She's like trying to do it underneath her breath. Lamp. Coley, talk to me.
I'm sorry. What's up? What's up? Hey, Liam just stepped on Murphy.
Oh, poor Murphy.
Murphy did not like it too much.
Well, folks, we have a hell of a show for you this evening, and while we're waiting for BJ to child abuse his kids, we'll kind of talk about it. We're going to have a great interview with Graham Lindsay. It's probably one of the best IBWIP interviews we've ever had. And so we're looking forward to that and some music. And then we're also going to do stupid people doing stupid things later on. Does that sound like fun?
That sounds magnificent.
You got to stay with me here, hon.
We're trying. I'm really trying.
I'm just one of you is better than none of you. I beat children. We'll also talk about some Muddy Roots, because that's coming up right around the corner. 64 days. 5 days.
Yes. Sorry, we're still trying to deal with Liam here.
That's all right.
So,
Maybe this is a good time to tell people the dial-in number.
The dial-in number.
If they want to call in and save us right now. The number is 203. What is it? 203-429-4711.
Right.
And anytime we're not playing music during the show, you can call us. And if you want to call and save us. Right now.
Oh. We just told people to call us to save us because.
This is live, man. This is how it goes. Sometimes, you know, stuff happens. Taking both, and there you have. The facts of life. So what have you been up to, Coley?
Trying to... Son of a bitch. What?
Liam turned off my mic. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I've been talking to you for the whole time.
And I'm following along because I hear him. Oh, for Christ's sake. No.
Well, now that we're back,
we're doing it live.
We're doing it live. Blake. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. That's how we have kids. You got kids. So do you guys want to play a game? Your favorite game?
Yes. It would be: would you rather tie a rock to your son's foot and throw him in a quarry, or send him to a penal colony somewhere?
Oh, Well, if you send him to a penal colony, you'd be able to go visit him.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, here it is. Now, remember, this is the rules for all of you that have never heard it before. I give a scenario, would you rather? Coley and BJ love to ask questions and learn more before they make their decision.
We sure
correct.
Do.
All right, so would you rather perform bestiality or necrophilia? Bestiality or necrophilia? I open it up for questions.
All right. Necrophilia. Who are we performing necrophilia on?
Marilyn Monroe.
Now, is this recently deceased Marilyn Monroe or been laying in the ground since 1960 Marilyn Monroe?
Since 1960.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There's not even any fleshy left on that.
Well, stay with it. You never know. Coley, you got a question?
I'm trying to think of one right now. Is it a particular animal?
You can choose the animal in which you'd like to bang. Yes.
Now, what do we get for this? Because there's always something cool.
Something cool in your fucking dead body.
Yeah.
Or an animal.
Right. Well, if you would make your question
specific I could answer specifically on this list of answers I have.
Okay, is there any prize for banging dead-ass Marilyn Monroe?
Well, they do make a trophy, like a medallion for you. Okay. And it says dead fuck, number one dead fuck on it.
Is there any cash prizes involved? Or is it just the trophy?
When you're fucking Marilyn Monroe, it's just the medallion. We like to call it a medallion instead of a trophy, I think. It sounds more predominant.
Now, is there any highlights to fucking an animal?
Highlights. It depends on what you mean by highlights.
Like the magazine highlights.
Well, yeah, like that, or
yes, you win Bestiality Magazine's Person of the Year, and you get a complete centerfold as well as an interview.
Yes, that was going to be my next question. Publicity.
Yeah, you get a lot of publicity with the Bestiality.
Hey, nice. People in the chat, help us out with questions.
Yes, that would be very lovely.
Or you can call in the dial-in number if you want to ask a question to help out BJ and Coley.
Yeah.
It's 203-429-4711.
Doing it live.
So, now, I don't know about this whole Marilyn Monroe thing, because there's like no flesh left on that.
Right, but you can dress her up.
Be there.
Oh, I can dress her up.
You can dress her up. I mean, but you can't add skin. You can't add skin to her. But like, you can put her in a dress and put a wig on her and put makeup on the skull.
Right.
That's always an option.
He's totally gonna do necro.
It's the art of cracking open a cold one.
That was a good one.
Nice.
Trying to think of other questions. Come on, folks. Help out.
Yeah.
Call in.
Come on. Give us some more things to think about. Things that make you go.
Now, with the Bestiality, you get to pick any animal.
Correct. Yes. What would you pick, BJ?
A goat, definitely.
A goat?
Yeah.
Interesting. That sounds eerily familiar.
That wasn't me.
Coley, what would you pick if you as your animal of choice?
A tiger.
Oh, they scratch too much.
I would pick something slow and fat.
Slow and fat.
Well, a goat can be very slow and fat.
Well, I was thinking something that's well endowed, like a horse or
okay.
Donkey.
Ooh, donkey. Okay, we'll say donkey.
Something like that.
Well endowed, huh?
Okay, so one person on the chat says, do you get to wrap it up or raw dog it? That's an interesting question. For the animal, you can wrap it because obviously for health reasons.
Right. And I prefer to use sheepskin condoms.
Wouldn't that be ironic if you were fucking a sheep with a sheepskin condom?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And for the necrophilia, you have to do it. You have to do it raw dog. So you're gonna go. You're gonna go bone to bone, or
now, do I get to use any kind of lube?
Yes, actually, if you pick necrophilia and fuck Marilyn Monroe, you get a KY Jelly sponsorship, and you get to be in all the magazine ads.
Nice.
Yeah. So do you
get money for that?
Oh yeah, I mean you sign a contract, an endorsement contract. Like, I mean, you probably make as much as like LeBlanc James.
LeBlanc.
That's the French version.
Yeah, he's LeBron.
LeBron James.
Spit. What
spit.
Else do we got here? Is this a one-time deal or forever?
Well, it's a one-time deal with Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
Okay, because I mean, you gotta pack her back up and put her in the ground. I mean, it's disrespectful to fuck her every day.
Well, if you do it once, you might as well keep her.
All right.
And with the bestiality, you have to fuck your animal of choice twice in your lifetime.
Ooh.
And so, is there any money in doing that? I don't know if we went over that. I can't remember.
I did say that you are person of the year at Bestiality Magazine. You get a centerfold. So I'm sure they give you a couple $100 for that.
Oh, okay.
So, do you guys, have you formed your answers?
I think I have, Blake.
I think I have as well.
All right, we'll let ladies go first. Coley, which would you rather do, bestiality on which animal or fuck Marilyn Monroe?
I'd rather fuck Marilyn.
Okay.
That's a shocker. That's a surprise.
That's kind of a smart choice for her, and I'll explain it to you later. But
okay.
And
I'm going with Marilyn also.
You're going with Marilyn also, so there will be no animal fucking going on. You guys are going to get your medallions.
Woo!
And fuck Marilyn Monroe.
Make sure you spit on
we
it
don't
and
get,
shine
like,
it up.
Crabs or anything, do we?
No, the crabs is you might get some like worms.
Like, well, you'd get that with the fucking an animal too. So
no, because you'd have the protection.
Put across the floor.
Right. Oh, that's always an entertaining segment for me. Usually not anybody else. But the other choice was going to be, would you rather replace your nose with a penis or your mouth with a vagina? Was the other one I was going to go with.
Oh, definitely the mouth thing.
The mouth thing.
No, never mind.
Well, Coley, it's kind of a smart decision because really all you have to do penetration-wise is to lick her bony vagina.
Ooh.
So you don't really have to penetrate. You kind of made the smart choice. Oh,
exactly.
But you could use a strap-on, yes, that is true.
Yes, I could.
So, hey, two each his own.
Or just bump uglies.
Do the scissors.
What's that?
Do scissors.
Yes. Scissors, spit, diddle, scissors.
Sorry.
Well, that's a good way to segue into our...
an awesome interview.
Right. Yeah, it's like, if you've made it through this horrible segment, get ready for an awesome interview.
Yeah, right. We're sorry, guys. We'll make it up in the next segment. It was all...
Always.
Me and Coley's fault.
No.
Why am I getting drug into it?
Because you helped make him.
You probably wanted it that night, Coley.
One that knocked me up. God.
Wow.
So, anyway, does anybody else want to hear more music? Because I sure as hell do.
Sure.
Going way too long. All right. Let's go ahead and hear Graham Lindsay with Tomorrow is Another Night, followed up by The Interview.
All right, folks, we'll be back. You're listening to It Burns When I Pee on IBWIP.com.
Back of my mind tomorrow. strum some chords and I make up rhymes. Tomorrow is another night. God bless my mother and my father too. They both done all that they could do and waved from the window of another time. Tomorrow is another night. The world ain't never what it seems. Home ain't always what you thought it would be. You open your door, but I can't come inside. Tomorrow.
Welcome back to episode 63 of It Burns My IP. Our songwriter series continues, and we have with us one of my favorite artists, Graham Lindsay. Graham, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
We just got done hearing Tomorrow is Another Night, and that is off the We Are All Alone in This Together, and that was, I think, your last album you put out, correct?
That was the last full length, yeah. Yep. Back in 2009.
All right, so why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, where you grew up and kind of what your childhood was like?
I grew up outside of Madison, Wisconsin, in rural Wisconsin, and had a lot of access to music early on. My parents were both huge music lovers, and they were constantly playing The Doors and Pink Floyd and all kinds of stuff, and old hippie rock and roll music. And took to that really early because it was constantly playing, and got into punk rock, I guess, when I was 10, and really haven't stopped playing music since then.
And like you said, you started playing music at a young age. You know what? Besides playing music, what was your first inspiration to like actually be a songwriter as opposed to just a musician?
The first band I was in, I was like 11 years old. I was playing drums. I started out as a drummer. I had my first drum set when I was six, just, whacking the drums along to whatever music my parents were playing. And started the first punk band when I was 11. I was playing drums for that. That disbanded a couple of years later, and I was just a drummer in that, but decided I wanted to, try more, do more. I hadn't learned the guitar yet, so I got most of our old players from the first punk band back together and started drumming and composing lyrics and singing at the same time, which was a total pain in the ass. But it worked out for a little while. And after that band disbanded, I started learning the guitar from one of my old buddies who just had it laying around, and just started learning power chords and, typical stuff. And I don't know, I felt like, I could push it more than just being, a musician or instrumentalist or whatever. So I started writing, I guess I first song I probably ever wrote was when I was 12 or 13 that I ever penned, you know, the music and words to.
Wow. And at such a young age, I mean, being a member of a band, I mean, you know, you're saying you're playing drums in punk bands at like 11 and 12 years old. Like, what kind of gigs were you playing at that time?
Let's see, with my first couple of bands, it was mainly just basement shows.
Sure.
You know, old school punk rock shows, just in dirty, moldy basements in around Madison and Milwaukee. Also some, you know, community event centers, VFW halls, stuff like that. I mean, anywhere that DIY punk kids could get, you know, a show set up at that point.
So,
but yeah.
Oh, sorry. So, I mean, obviously your parents were really supportive of you at such a young age to kind of take this avenue.
Oh, totally. Very, very much.
So,
I couldn't have for anything better, definitely.
So, you know, I know it's hard to pinpoint one person, but you know, who would you say is the most influential songwriter to you, and why?
It is hard to pinpoint this one. I mean, after, you know, having done it, you know, over 20 years, and having, you know, being involved in so many different scenes of music, you know, throughout that time, and being influenced by so many different types of music and so many different, you know, musicians and songwriters. I hate to say it, but I guess, you know, Dylan is definitely tops. He's pretty much the dude that, you know, when I finally seriously dug into his catalog, that, you know, it was like, holy shit, this, you know, one dude and a guitar could actually do this. Like, this is incredible, you know. And that was after years of listening to a lot of, like, you know, 60s folk revival type stuff, and even like the more popular stuff like Simon Garfunkel or Cat Stevens and Nick Drake and you know, but Dylan really, I mean, stood out for obvious reasons. As you know, there's a lot to learn from this guy, and anyway, you know, he's still making music that is incredible. So
definitely. So okay, I have a question. I'm always interested. What were your views on the Beatles as songwriters?
I love the Beatles. I got no problems with the Beatles. I like Beatles music. I'm not a closet Beatles fan. I'm completely out in the open. I know that there are a lot of people out there that don't like them, and you know, that's their problem. But there's something to be learned from everybody. I mean, there's something to be learned whether you like a band, you like a certain songwriter in a band, or whatever. There's something to be learned from everybody. Period.
Sure.
I mean, you know, even pop radio. I mean, I never listen to top 40 radio, but if I'm in a department store and it's blaring through the speakers, you know, it's like I can't help but listen to it and learn something from
sure.
it. Even if it's, you know, oh, you know, they should have, you know, why did they do it this way? They could have done it this way.
Right.
You know, maybe it wouldn't have been this an abrasively disgusting song. But anyway, back to the Beatles. I do like the Beatles. You know, that was another, you know, those vinyls were playing constantly in my house when I was growing up, too. And, you know, as far as songwriters, I mean, I think, you know, Paul McCartney and John Lennon both, I mean, as different as they are from each other. I mean, they're, you know, both incredible songwriters. And they're, you know, their music hasn't really, the Beatles really haven't influenced me directly per se, as much as, you know, Bob Dylan or you know, a lot of other artists from the era. But you know, it's hard not to be influenced by
sure.
a band like that. I mean, if you say you're not, then you're full of shit.
Right. Well, and for me, as a music enthusiast, I guess, and not so much technical wise, but you know, the Beatles, I think you had two amazing songwriters for their time. And to the fact that they actually could put music out with those two powerhouses, you know, not colliding constantly and still making, you
right.
know, great music is a feat in itself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So another, you know, like I said, we're kind of focused on songwriting these next couple episodes of IBWIP. I'm always really interested in asking questions. But what do you do when you seem to have writer's block? When you're trying to write songs or stuff isn't coming, what are some of the techniques that you do?
I don't know if I have so much techniques. the first thing I do not do at all is try to write. I found that trying to force something like that, you know, however good or bad a case of writer's block is definitely not the way to go. And even more so, I'm not even sure I really believe in writer's block. If something ain't coming, then you probably aren't ready to be writing about what you want to be writing about.
Makes sense completely.
You know, and that's not to say that you know you shouldn't push the boundaries of what you're trying to express. But if the well's gone dry, I mean, good luck getting anything out.
Right.
And it could be a very painful experience to be constantly, you know, sitting on your hands waiting for that to happen, constantly thinking about it. I mean, that makes it, that usually, at least in my case, it's made it a lot worse. The times that I've taken hiatuses from writing, deliberate hiatuses, I didn't feel like, you know, that what I had to say at that moment was worth getting across in the, you know, with the limitations that I was, you know, I guess putting myself under, or felt that I was under, whatever the case was, and didn't feel like anything would really, any quality writing, you know, would come out of those periods. So pretty much anything but writing.
Right.
Is, you know, go for a walk or, you know, I don't know.
And do you think that possibly, you know, like if you are struggling to write and you're constantly thinking about writing, you kind of miss a lot of the stuff that happens around you that can inspire you later on, even?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find that in, you know, in a lot of songs where it comes across as the artist being disingenuous or not writing about what they know, that they're just kind of making it up on the fly, and sure, that they really haven't experienced these things. And that's not to downplay, you know, imaginative writing, but not the kind of imaginative writing where you're just making up shit as you go,
right,
and hope that something sticks. You know, every writer should definitely write what they know and come from their own perspective. That's what makes their writing, or will make their writing, unique and personal and their own. But that's, sorry, I just lost my train.
Sure. No, you're fine.
Edit.
Yeah. Pause button. No. So, you've been touring a lot for the last 2 years, and are you kind of getting burned out from the road, and has this constant touring kind of taken away from your songwriting? I guess we just kind of talked about the process you go, but, you know, being on the road all the time, is there a point where you just have to like stand back from it?
I've burnt out. I felt like I've burnt out numerous times before now. There's like I said, there's been several times where I've all but dropped off the face of the planet. you know, for either feeling like I just, there was nothing, the output that I had to give really wasn't the kind of output I wanted to give. And it's also been, you know, it's also taken a bit of growing up to realize, you know, looking back now, you know, how I was feeling at those times, what I was expecting, from things with my music, that I think a lot of, I know for sure, you know, definitely for myself, that I think with a lot of younger musicians that kind of jump headfirst into this, it does take some maturing, and it takes some perspective to understand that, you know, if you're doing this burnout, you know, if you're doing this music thing, that, you know, the burnout's only going to come, you know, relative to your expectations,
sure,
of it and what you want to get out of it. And, you know, myself and my wife, Tina, have been on the road, for just over a year now, pretty much straight. We haven't been playing, you know, night after night consecutively, but we've been pretty much on the road for over a year now. And pretty much a year ago is when, you know, we decided, like, you know, it's shit or get off the pot time.
Right.
And, And I had we wound up started to play together. She started to play the drums with me, and for me that took a lot of weight off my back. Getting playing solo like I've been doing on and off for the past 8 years, it just got really, really tiring, really exhausting. You know, it felt like sitting in a dentist chair, getting your teeth pulled every night in the spotlight.
Right.
And so that was really burning me out, playing in bars and trying to sing, you know, just one guy on guitar again, trying to sing atop, you know, a bunch of drunk people and you know, or, you know, just a bunch of people there who were, you know, for the social whatever.
Right.
So anyway, incorporating Tina into the set, you know, helped calm me down a bit. And, you know, it's also, I'm able to tweak our live versions of songs a little bit more to make them a little bit more upbeat and to make them something that, you know, is going to draw people in a little bit more than just another guy with an acoustic guitar. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, I've done it so for so long that I just needed to change. I needed to step out of that and move on to the next thing, do something else.
All right.
So, but anyway, yeah, songwriting, as far as songwriting, touring on the road has been absolutely wonderful, but I'm completely incapable of writing songs on the road. I just can't do it. I've known a lot of people who can, and they write wonderful songs, you know, in a motel room or in a van or in a bus or you know, sitting by a creek the next day after the show. But I have a lot of problems with that. I can't seem to do it that way. So.
All right. Well, you know, you just got, you know, brought up touring with your wife, Tina. I guess here's a question is, you know, touring with her as your drummer, how have you handled mixing your personal and professional life, you know, basically 24/7? I mean, it's not like you guys go to separate jobs during the day and you come home together at night and you have dinner. You know what I mean? What kind of interesting things have you learned, you know, over the past year or so?
Well, Tina and I first met actually over 10 years ago at work. We both worked in a group home in Wisconsin together, working with autistic children and adults. So pretty high, you know, high stress job. We did that for about 6 years. And since then, we've worked together alongside each other for pretty much through every day job that we've had. We wound up moving to Montana in like 2006, got married, had a job there together. We cleaned houses together. So we over a year ago before we started out on this last never-ending tour, we were like, you know, well, we work good together. You know, in every job we've ever had before, why don't we, you know, say to hell with this day job thing and try the music thing together? You know, and so we did, and it's been wonderful. I can't really say. I'm not sure what things I've learned from it, other than it was taking what we already had a pretty damn good hunch about, and just jumping off the cliff together.
That's awesome.
It's been fantastic. So
that's a rarity nowadays. So you should definitely cherish that.
But it's possible. Damn it.
There you go. You're living proof. So, I noticed that on your website you have all your lyrics posted, you know, from all the songs you've written on your albums. And, mm-hmm. you know, as a songwriter, do you think it's important that fans can, you know, view your music lyrics, you know, separately outside the context of the actual song? Do you think that that's a significant thing?
I think it is a significant thing. I've always tried to include lyrics, you know, in all my albums. You know, where I'm lying, like you said, I think it's significant, and unfortunately, it's yet another element of things that are, of something important, that's being lost in today's digital, circle jerk, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, that people aren't getting to see different sides, the many different angles of a particular song or a particular album or a particular songwriter, whether it's the lyrics, you know, to a song, or it's album art, or or what have you, or liner notes, if, you know, anybody remembers those. It's, you know, and unfortunately that's the way it's going, but I think it's important to at least offer that for the people that still want, you know.
What? And for me, you know, just
hearing song outside the music.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, for me, you know, listening to your songs, you know, it when you go back and you're not listening to, you know, the melodies that go with it and you're just reading the lyrics as they were written, it gives you even more, I think, detail. And it's like you're reading a story, and the fact that you can shut your brain down enough to pay attention to just the words, as opposed to, you know, half your brain's listening to the words, half
your brain's listening. And that's something that's, become increasingly difficult for people nowadays to do, or to find the time to do, or, you know, whatever the case is. But I do think it's very important, because the listener does get to experience a song without the singers, or at least the musical input, which, you know, can often be a big trick, you know.
Sure.
that can fool. Just the melody of something can change everything. And I think to be able to see the raw skeleton of the song is important.
Right. So, do you think there is such thing as the perfect song? And have you written the perfect song in your mind?
Big absolute no's on both of those questions. I think what makes a song perfect is so highly, you know, individualized and isolated, you know, and as well as obviously subjective. But if a song gets across its whatever, you know, message, for lack of a better term, content wise that it has in the most succinct way, in the most compelling way, in the most passionate and honest and genuine and authentic way, I think that's pretty much the only qualifiers, which isn't that big of a qualifier, you know. It's just, it goes back to just writing what you know right from your heart.
Definitely.
That to me, is as perfect as a song as you're going to get.
Awesome. So, you know, we're going to segue out of the interview with the song, the Matchbook song. And can you kind of tell us about that, the story behind that and writing that song?
Sure. It's quite a few songs. When I sit down and write a song, I usually don't just sit down and write a song and then it's done 15 minutes later. That's only happened maybe a couple times, and it's just one way of writing a song. There's been a number of other songs that have taken, you know, years for me to complete and get to a point of recording them and feeling comfortable with them and, you know, playing them live and whatnot and really feeling like they're finished. Matchbook song was one of those songs that I had started out. I had written that during the same batch of material that I had written for my first album back in 2003. And I think it was probably written around 2000 or 2001. And never really felt comfortable with it. Didn't feel like it was quite there. Wasn't ready lyrically. I had all the music already mapped out, because that's usually the easy part. So anyway, Matchbook song, it sat on the shelf for probably, I guess, 4 or 5 years. And For that song, I mean, what it's trying to say, I mean, it's not the biggest, you know, greatest idea, I guess. To me, it was just, you know, this explaining what the song is not.
Right.
Because there's so many songs out there that you know, are trying to be something else than just music. And I think a lot of, it's very easy to lose sight of that. Lose sight of what your songs are and are not. It's just music, you know. Anyway, it took me about 4 or 5 years to finish, and before I was, you know, ready to record it and put it out in 2006. So, but yeah, as far as giving it, it's a story about it. It's kind of hard, because it was written in pieces.
Sure.
You know, it was really, really cobbled together over a number of years. So there's a lot of different eras for me in that song that are speaking to different things, you know, simultaneously, I guess.
Is it frustrating, I mean, to have a song that you start kind of going with a song, getting it made, And, you know, like you said, this is a song that was in development for 5 years. Is there a point where that gets frustrating as a songwriter? You're like, oh, I've got something here. I just, you know.
It's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, because I'd be way too impatient. I don't have that ability to, you know, to set something down. And that's probably, you know, one of my faults. But I can see where, you know, as a songwriter, you would just be like, geez, you know, where's this at? Where's it? Just get done.
No, and that's you know, goes back to what we're talking about with the writer's block. I mean, it's best not to force things. You know, it makes you feel better in the end, because if you do force it, you realize real quick, you know, oh shit, this isn't done. Like I fucked up. Like I need to wait on this a little more. And Matchbook song isn't actually even the longest song that you know, that took me to finally give birth to. I think like Desperate Man is another song of mine that took, I think it was over, that covers the span of like 10 years, I think.
Wow.
You know, where I first started writing something and it just, you know, it went through three or four revolutions, three or four totally different lives of, you know, how the music sounded and how the lyrics were put together, what it was they were trying to say. And, you know, I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes you have to just do that. You know, a song has to, I mean, if anything you're creating, a song, a painting, whatever it is, you know, it should excite you. I mean, sure. it should be lighting that fire under your ass all by itself.
Right.
Without much of your own, you know, input.
And they kind of start to grow on their own. You know, they kind of take
exactly.
a life of their own.
And you need to let them. You need to let them. Otherwise, you know, they come out mutated and cut short and, you know, all kinds of nasty stuff.
Well, you know, personally, I think you're an amazing songwriter.
Thank you.
When I have a lot of people on here, but, you know, doing this songwriter kind of series, we do this show and we feature a lot of bands and I enjoy a lot of bands, but, it's, you know, I felt for myself as a music listener or however you want to call it, that there was, I kind of had to go back and start with why we got into this music in the first place. And it's because of the messages and the feelings that, are portrayed in songs. And you know, finally having you on the show, it's a real honor to have you on, man.
Oh, it's great fun to be here, man.
So where can folks go? The big point is, where can folks go to buy these CDs?
GrahamLindsay.net.
And we'll put that.
We're actually out of like three of them right now, out of three of the albums. So we've got the digital download links up for, you know, cheaper than what the physical CDs would cost. But we are hoping we're going to be pressing up three albums this fall. So nice. We'll have those back in stock and ready to go.
Awesome. Well, Graham, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And
thank you so much for having me.
Don't stop doing it. I hopefully someday soon you'll come around Illinois, you know, Central Illinois, so I can actually see you playing live. But until then, we'll definitely be spinning these records always.
Definitely. Sounds good, man.
All right. And here is the Matchbook song.
This ain't no love song. This ain't no organized and scripted happenstance. This ain't no ordinary radio summon straining for a man's. It ain't this. And it ain't that. Ain't no sideshow, stripped down college vomit dance. It's just a song. This ain't Kansas, and this ain't May. This ain't the stuffing in a scarecrow wearing nothing but the rain. This ain't no cheap and dismal trick or treat diagnosed in a day. It's what you want. You need something more than I'll be on my way. It's just a song. So here's your posies, here's my tray. Well, I hope that we live long enough to see a better day. But this ain't forever. There's no such thing. This This ain't no frantic raggle waving for attention to my dreams. This ain't political masturbation masquerading as a theme. Ain't no psychology blowjob for a scream. It could be you or it could be me, but it's just a song. So here's your hook, here's my line. I apologize, I couldn't give enough to you as Ryan. But I promise, though these words may not resound, I'll always be here even if my heart is wrong. Just a song. Ain't no sensational and cataclysmic century show. No high-tech prophecy of doom or hope. I'm only trying to find the right road. Just a song. So here's the hook, and here's the line. There ain't nothing at the end, but it's sinking all the time.
Alrighty, folks, again, that was Graham Lindsay with the Matchbook song, one of my favorite all-time songs. And now we're going to call Coley and BJ back up. Hopefully they'll be home. And they didn't leave. But you never know. We're calling. Oh.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak with Amish BJ and Cold Beer Coley?
We are here.
And speaking.
How are you doing?
Good.
How
that was
you
a damn
doing?
Good interview, Blake.
Why, thank you very much. I was pretty proud of it myself, and you know, but Graham was an awesome guy, and I love hearing, you know, songwriters talk about the process that they go through, you know, and to have a song that, you know, 10 years and 5 years that you were holding on to waiting for it to develop. He told me a lot about patience, but fortunately, I'm not very good with that.
Your OCD does not allow me.
No.
Well, you are.
So let's go ahead and talk about Muddy Roots because, you know, last year, you know, we talked about like every show for like 6 months.
Right.
Because we were all like so souped up on it. But we're only like 65 days away.
Holy
That's sad to believe, actually, cause since I haven't even got my tickets yet.
Oh, well, you make so much money on Silent Storm Radio, you should probably get in free or something. So, I mean, what do you look forward to different? I mean, you know, we were there last year. What are you kind of looking forward to or expecting this year?
I'm looking forward to seeing the family again. Really looking forward to Slim Cessna's Auto Club and some of the other bands. I'm going to try to hit bands that I didn't get to hit last year if they're playing again. But last year I spent a lot of time around the camp, you know, making sure that some guy didn't die of heat stroke and other stuff. And I think this year it's going to be no holds barred. I'm just taking water with me. I may even bring like a camel back and just, you know, fill it with water and just keep walking around and hydrate and watch bands all day long.
Right on. I'm hoping to just be on my feet for 90%.
Yeah.
Coley, how about you? What are you looking forward to most?
Family again. Getting to mingle with the bands again. Seeing friends we haven't seen in a while, like band-wise. And of course, like I said, the family. And really just watching as much as I can music-wise, because last year, like Beach said, we didn't hit as many as we wanted, or somebody else was playing when we wanted to go see somebody else or caught the end, and I'd really like to try to schedule my time a little better this year. But like I said, we'll see what happens.
Well, and another thing, we had, you know, the schedule all made out on what we were going to hit and this and that. And then we get down there and the schedule had totally changed.
Right.
That
so
is true.
That threw everything out the frickin' window. And I'm like, so I know there was a bunch of bands that I had checked off that I wanted to definitely see that I never got a chance to.
Right.
So
I find it interesting that neither one of you said you were looking forward to the tent sex.
It's 105 degrees in Tennessee at that time of year.
Yeah.
And the showers are nice, yes, but
I don't want to have sex in there either.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
My right hand is really looking forward to Muddy Roots.
We did not have 10 sex last year, but we did have a little battle inside the tent.
I farted and gave her pink eye.
That's some strong farts when you give somebody pink eye from it.
Hell yeah, man.
So if you had to pick, you know, BJ, you said who you were looking forward to most seeing. Coley, who are you looking forward to seeing the most?
I'm also looking forward to seeing Slim Cessna. I just cannot wait.
I am looking forward to seeing the Pine Box Boys. And I told Miles that if I am sick again, that you guys will have to drag me over there, lay me down, so I will at least say I was there.
Oh, we will definitely drag you around because we're going to see the Pine Box Boys too.
As well, yes.
They're on my list, as well as Bruno and Husky.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing the Cracker Swamp Productions guys.
Hell yeah.
We're going to be there in full force.
I guess I shouldn't say Bruno.
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 So, yeah, I mean, that's Muddy Roots in a
nutshell.
Nutshell,
sure.
for us.
And always, everyone is more than welcome to come to Camp Krusty this year.
Definitely. Yes. We're hoping to expand.
There's not as much talk on the Camp Krusty Facebook page as there was last year at this time. But I think that's because we all know what to expect now.
Right.
And we're just ready to get there.
Right.
Ready to do it live.
We'll do it live!
So, Coley, you're really good at this, so why don't you give everybody the contact information? Because the phone lines are open.
Yes, they are. And since I don't have fan feedback this week, I guess I got to do this, huh?
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. Now, I love all our listeners. And I know that not everybody, you know, listens. And that's why we try to shorten up the show, you know, and make it twice a month. But people need to fucking send us some feedback. That's what, you know, making fun of that is what half a show is.
Right.
And when you take away contact, then there's content. Then 20 minutes before the show, I'm still searching the internet for shit to do.
Well, Sean was very upset that we didn't have fan feedback as well, so...
So, well, make sure everybody knows how to get a hold of us.
All right. This is how you do it, guys. This is
how you do it.
Dun, 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 dun. All right.
I quit.
Again?
You can email Blake at blake@ibwip.com. onlyfans.com. The or actually it's not the, it's just AmishBJ at IBWIP.com.
Tit pics, please.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You interrupted. Am I doing fan feedback? Oh, wait. Or you can email me at coldbeer@IBWIP.com. And we also have a dial-in number, which is 203-429-4711. And you can go to www.ibwip.com for our hyperlink to the Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Yes, sorry, Bob.
Twitter.
Tweet.
You know what? I got a bone to pick about Twitter. Porn people, spam porn people, they follow me all the time. And I'm like, Molly, I'm sorry. You know, it's not my fault. You know, I didn't ask Long Clit Sally to follow me.
I deleted my tweeter.
Tweeter twatter? I haven't checked my tweets in like 6 months.
I checked it last night, hon. You're fine.
Oh, okay.
And you guys can also download this show and subscribe to the show on iTunes, the evil iTunes.
Yes, iTunes is equally evil.
Okay, right. So the second... Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. The another segment that's running itself into the ground, but we're going to do it one more time or so. Oh, we have a caller. Hello, this is IBWIP Live. Who is this?
Am I live?
Yes, you're live. Who is this?
Oh, my God. This is Mel from L.
Mel from L, you have us on speed dial.
I should have you on speed dial.
Hi, Mel, the narrator.
Hey, everybody. I'm sorry I just got here.
Oh, you missed all the good stuff.
Yeah.
I know. I'm a jerk, but I'll listen to it because you're going to have it on the website, right? So I can listen to it later.
Yes, it will be available this Friday at 8 a.m., starting at 8 a.m. You can stream it live or you can download it.
That'll be awesome. I'll totally download it on Friday and listen to it on Friday after my show and after the happy hour.
Awesome.
Wow, look at that.
Hey,
shameless plug.
Oh, yeah. I slept with Melissa this weekend.
Oh,
nice.
Did. Do tell.
We were
did
in
Gary
the fur trader building.
The fur trader building.
Yep. Yeah. It was pretty fun. We had a great time in St. Louis.
Yeah, we went and saw Scott H. Byram and the bitchy Lydia Lovelace.
Wow, yep. Dude. That's the second time you've made mention of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not really going to play your stuff on my show. Unless it's requested. Sorry.
I say everybody request it every Friday.
I think I will.
Anyway, I just wanted to call in and say hey, and I'll say an advance great show, because I know you guys always put on a great show.
Aw. Well, thank you for calling, Mel.
Yes, and also, I am the champion until Coley kicks my ass next week.
Right on. We'll talk about that later, too. Awesome. Well, Mel, thanks for calling in.
Love y'all. Bye.
Love you, too.
Bye, Mel.
See you, Mel.
See, that's how easy it is, folks. You just ring, dial it up. We'll stop talking.
One ringy-dingy?
Two ringy-dingy. Okay, we're now going to do stupid people doing stupid things.
Woo!
Woohoo!
Because you guys like this game a lot, this segment a lot better than Would You Rather. Okay, man high on bath salts kills and possibly rapes a goat dressed in women's undergarments.
Wasn't me. Just saying.
Amish BJ. No. All right, here we go. Are you ready for me to read it? I don't have any audio on it. I guess it wasn't. But we're gonna put the link up to this, and you got to see this dude. You could just tell he was on something.
Nice.
In case you're in need of one more reason to avoid snorting bath salts, a.k.a. synthetic cocaine, consider the tale of 19-year-old Mark Thomas. Oh, actually, Mark Thompson. There's a Mark Thomas out there going, "What the fuck?
I didn't rape no goat."
Mark Thompson. On Monday, Thompson was found in a rural West Virginia, the home of Kara Clark. Found in rural West Virginia home dressed in a bra and panties.
Sweet.
Next to him was a pornographic magazine and his neighbor's dead goat.
Aww.
Now that's, I mean, you know, if you're going to get high on bath salts, at least, you know, he didn't eat somebody's face off, which is good.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean, don't take the neighbor's goat. That's just mean.
Yeah, that is. Rape your own goat.
Right. Buy your own goat, raise it, love it, caress
it. Bath salts and then rape it.
Right. Thompson told police he'd been high on bath salts for 3 days when he stole the farmer's animal.
Holy shit.
These fucking people, man, tear me up. Woo! Sorry. I'm getting a little excited about the bath salts.
Right. He told them, "Don't come in. I'm naked," Powers said. Powers was the police officer. But they opened the door, and he was standing there in his with his pants down. He had on women's clothing, and the goat was dead, and there was blood everywhere.
Nice.
Nice.
He fucked the blood out of it.
Ugh.
Awesome. You know, I woke up beside a dead deer once completely naked, but that's a different story.
That's a different story for a different time.
Yeah.
When police entered the house, they found fresh blood near the front door of the bedroom and in Thompson's bedroom to the right of the front door. Inside the bedroom, police found the small gray and white goat wearing a pink collar.
Oh. Aww.
Lying dead on the floor.
It was a fucking pygmy goat, too. How dare he?
Blood coming from its neck, according to the complaint. There was a pornographic magazine photo laying a few feet from the goat. Man. I guess you would need something to stimulate you if you're fucking a goat, you know?
Well, if you even get to that point where you're that high on bath salts, does it really matter?
So what you should learn from this is don't do it for 3 days.
Right. kids, stay away from bath salts. And we need, like, the NBC, dun, 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 the more you know. We need the cast from Saved by the Bell to come back and do
right.
it.
Right.
Public service announcement.
We know the animal had at least one stab wound, said Captain Sean Snuffer, a detective at the sheriff's department. There are also searching for signs of sexual trauma.
That's a good question, Low-Tech. Was the goat dead or alive when he raped it?
Right, because he either picked necrophilia or he picked a bestiality.
Exactly. We're bringing it around here, folks.
It all comes around.
We tied a little bow around that whole thing.
We served it up to you nice and neat. So let's talk about SoundStormRadio.com, and then I want to complain about my email.
All right.
We'll give you the honors, BJ.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just step right in there.
That's all right. We're off the cuff. It's not. I don't want this show to sound red.
We're doing it live.
Silent Storm Radio, tons of good shows. You hear it all the time, folks, but come on over, check them all out. You have this, which could either be awesome or a complete train wreck, which the first segment I'm not saying anything, but train wreck. it's on every other Monday. I'm not sure. Blake, are we still going to be doing it?
Yeah, if you guys are down.
I'm down.
I think, I don't know, I haven't really gotten any fan feedback, but I'm assuming that people are liking the shorter shows.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I wish somebody would say something. But anyway.
Or call in, maybe.
Yeah, or call in and say it either sucks or it's a good thing. Keep going. Anyway, on Tuesday nights, we have Trailer Park Romance at 8 Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central. We have the Mojo Medicine Show at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. We have on Wednesday nights, Tim Pop's Rebel Rouser Country at 8 o'clock Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. See, I'm even switching it around, Blake. How do you like that?
You're doing awesome.
And then after that, you have Texas Jeff's Pro Cal Tipping Unlimited which has to be one of the longest names ever. Congratulations, Jeff.
Woo!
Woo!
Those guys from Texas, you know. Gotta make it. They gotta
have to do everything bigger.
Bigger. Right. Longer, harder.
It's called penis envy.
Yeah. But anyway, you have that directly after Tim Pop's Rebel Rouser Country. And then on Thursday night, you have Hobo Hiatus at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Then on Friday night, you have Mel from Ill.
Who called in just a little while ago?
Yes, who is a frequent caller and an awesome joke teller.
Yeah.
Awesomely bad. But she does a little show called All Damn Day Long at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central, followed by my show, The Happy Hour, at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central. And then on Saturday, we have been playing all day long music. It starts around 1:30. And it will go until I'm ready to shut my computer off at night, which is usually 1, 2 in the morning. Sometimes it could go longer. It all depends on if there's people listening, and we can tell. And then, so don't try to pull the wool over my eyes, folks. And then on Sunday night, you have Honky Tonk Swing, hosted by the lovely co-host here on IBWIP.
Woohoo!
It's awesome. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Aw, thanks.
I like the mix of swing and like old honky tonk music. It's good stuff.
Yeah, that's how I always seen it and heard it in my head. That's why I was bringing it to everybody else. But anyway, enough about me. Let's go into more about Blake.
No.
And then you have the fine host of IBWIP, Blake Clayton, does Sunday Night Roundup every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central.
With my co-host, the beautiful Malls.
Yes, and the beautiful Malls. She helps beauty up the show.
Right, we use the live webcam, and we just sit there and rock out.
With your cock out.
And one of the new segments we have on Sunday Night Roundup is the Unfunny Joke Contest, which Mel was victorious with, and she's going to be competing this Sunday with Cold Beer Coley for the title.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
I'm going to be a contender.
I could have been a contender.
Also, you had an awesome caller this week.
Yeah, Pat, he was cool. I hope he calls more often. But you never know.
Yeah, you don't know. So
that's the that's a good part of it. You never know what's going to happen. Okay, so, you know, every email, even though you have Gmail that says no spam or whatever, you know, you're always going to have spam. And mostly since my IBWIP email address is all over the planet,
right,
by no choice of my own. But I've been looking at my spam lately, and I'm kind of offended.
Do tell.
I've got about 96 emails, and I delete them every, like, twice a week. So I've got, and I've already deleted it once this week, but I've got, like, 96 spam emails here. And none of them are for Asian porn, which pisses me off.
I get Russian chicks every now and again.
Really? All I get is enlargement supplements or, you know, cheap Viagra.
Yeah, cheap Canadian pharmacy.
The cheap Canadian pharmacy. I got that one right here. Canadian pharmacy, pharmacy store, Viagra plus Cialis. I don't want any. You can ship it UPS. I think Malls is sending my email address to all these little dick companies.
It's okay because I get the same one. So unless she's sending them for me too, but I would like to try Viagra just once. I don't have a problem down there, but I just want to try it.
If anybody is a pharmacist and can get us some Viagra, we will take it live on the show.
Yes. And we'll take pictures.
Do you remember when I took horny goat weed?
Yeah. I do. Actually, I just listened to that episode the other week.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody listens to, like, we have a couple guys in at work that like to listen to the mix channel on the actual FM radio, which turns out to be Justin Bieber and Adele 50 times a day. And to go in my own little world, I went and listened to old episodes of IBWIP.
Awesome. That's why I had those three extra downloads last month.
There you
I don't
go.
Download them. I just stream them.
Oh.
Damn. That was a slap.
Sorry, I didn't mean to burst your bubble, Blake.
That's all right. It's always going down, you know. Well, folks, I think we're going to wrap up this episode of Eyes to the Bees to the WIPs.
Woot, woot.
That was gangsta.
Right. That's me. I'm hardcore. I want to first, of course, thank Cold Beer and Amish BJ for continuing to do the show with my anal retentiveness and annoying self.
Huh. No, Blake. Thank you for putting up with our madhouse that we have here
yes.
at the Christie household.
That's what you do on the fly, man. You do that kind of stuff on the fly.
Yeah, I guess.
And
you got a hard-headed kid that doesn't like to listen.
Like his father. No.
He's yeah. five.
What we do here is we send Eli to bed about 6 hours before we do the show. We give him some NyQuil.
Nice.
And we talk about bunnies and, you know, sugar plums.
NyQuil with a Benadryl chaser?
Right, exactly. I definitely want to give a big thanks to Graham Lindsay. I was amazed by, you know, his interview. I don't know if people kind of got the same feel of it that I did, but it was totally awesome. And if you've never heard any Graham Lindsay music, you're under a rock, and you need to go check him out.
Definitely. I thought it was a damn good interview. So nobody cares what I think, but I thought it was good.
But I care.
Thank you, Blake.
I'd like to thank Nobody for sending us fan feedback this week.
Thank you, Nobody.
Thank you, Nobody.
You suck. I mean.
You guys started writing in. You know, that's how you guys got on the show.
Right.
So if somebody
if you keep writing in, you'll kick us off.
And right, exactly.
The spot.
You'll become my new brother and sister.
I got to replace these ones. They suck.
They're getting too old.
One of the prerequisites is you can't have any kids. No, I honestly think I owe it to Liam because he's given me so much show content over the past year that I deserve to, you know, get a little rubber roused lately.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, he did help out in the beginning there. So,
all righty, folks. Well, again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in live to the live taping. I'm wondering if this is going well. Oh, wait a minute. I just got spam on the chat.
What?
I just got spam on the chat.
I see that.
Can you see what it says?
If it's the same thing I'm looking at, then is it the Viagra plus whip? It's yeah?
No, it says, "Hello, dear. My name is Ruth. I am a young girl. I would like us to be friends and to know more about each other. Please contact me through my email address." I want everybody to write this down. ruthsho@yahoo.it. That's not real, obviously. "So that I can send my picture to you and also tell you more about myself. Your new friend, Miss Ruth." My email address?
Yeah, huh? I don't see that. Was that a private message?
Yes, it was a private message.
Well,
then we know who sent it.
Ruth. Ruth XXX is what her name is.
Nice.
So be jealous, Molly, and start treating me better because I got young girls wanting to show me stuff.
I doubt with a name like Ruth, she's very young. She's probably a librarian.
Or Purdy.
You got a Purdy mouth. Alrighty, folks. Again, thank everybody in the world except the
thank
non.
Thank you guys for listening.
Yes, thank you so much for putting up with our shiz.
But the only way we ever end an episode of IBWIP is with the world famous BJ Double Shot. BJ, why don't you tell us about that, and then I'll hang up on you so it doesn't sound like a storm.
All right, guys. You are going to hear, the first song will be 18 Days of Rain by McDougal. The song reminds me of Muddy Roots because on our way, well, Sunday at Muddy Roots, it rained like hell, and it didn't stop. We drove the whole way home through it, and we got home, and it was about a week longer of rain. So that song always kind of reminds me of that time, and I got the CD at the same time, so... And then song number two is Hell or High Water by William Elliott Whitmore. Enjoy, folks.
All right, guys, here we go.
Night off.
Seven hours waiting for an eastbound train. Gotta get out of this city of rain. Wanna soak my face in the springtime sun. Then fall asleep in the shade. Southbound boxcar rolling slow. First thing moving, so in we go. If time really is money, I guess I don't need to get paid. And 18 days of rain can bring a fella down. So come 17 days, you won't find me hanging round. Through the rumble and the shake, we finally watch as the clouds break. And the sun pours out on the green fields right before our eyes. Playing cards and killing time, laughing as the crossings chime. Rivers flowing underneath, and the birds floating in the sky. Each one took their own route in hopes to find the places they dreamt of the night before. Two on the highway thumbing rides, the other back where the train sides. I'll meet you back up north when the rain don't fall no more. And 18 days of rain could bring a fella down.
Glasses to the bottom and toast me on another year. Another year of hope, another year of holding on. For you drinkers by day, you are bastards by dawn. And I hope I will see you soon.
water and I'll be home. Come hell or high water and I know I will see you soon. Oh, gather round friends and neighbors who make your living by labor and share with me this little time. This little time that we have left to have a drink and catch our breath, well, it might just be what saves our lives. And I hope I will see you soon. And I'll be home, come hell or high water, and I know I will see you soon. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Drink your glasses to the bottom and listen to the howling dogs. And oh, how it pleases me to be in such company, and I'm so glad our paths have crossed. And I hope I will see you soon. And I'll be home, come hell or high water, and I know I will see. Oh, and I'll be home, come hell or high water, and I know I will see you soon.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.